Good evening and welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And on your way in, I hope you grabbed a red hymnal and a half sheet of paper with our order of service on it. And just a note about that order of service, when you see on the right-hand column where it says song numbers, those are the hymns in the back half of the book. And then where it says page numbers, those are the page numbers on the bottom of the page in the front third of the book. A word about our communion practice here at Holden. All are welcome to receive the sacrament. And a word about kind of the logistics of all this here in the village center. There are three stations for receiving communion, one in front of the altar and one on either side. And we will receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one. And the first chalice will, or the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you have gluten-free, are in need of gluten-free bread, please indicate that to the person who is distributing bread, and they will make that available to you. Also, if you don't wish to receive communion, you are still welcome, as you are moved, to come forward to receive a blessing and simply cross your arms over in front of your chest to so indicate as you come forward. Also, you will note on the back of your order of service a word at the bottom of the back there about tonight's offering. So I commend that to you as well. And now I invite the children to come and gather around the baptismal font. I invite the young children to gather around the baptismal font. Our order of confession and forgiveness is found on the back side of your order of service. And the reason I call you guys up to the baptismal font is because when we hear about God's forgiveness for us, it's all about returning to baptism. And so it helps us remember baptism as we confess where we have gone wrong and we hear words of forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who gives new life. Amen. Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Steadfast and saving God,
have mercy on us. In so many ways we cause or suffer brokenness, envy, ambition, conflict, boasting, hard hearts, lashing tongues, dishonor for the poor. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts, bringing forth on us a harvest of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for all your wounds. Continue to pray for one another. Care for those who are wandering and seek the good that you may live.
Amen.
Now you kids, before you go back to your seats, dip your hands in that water and make a little cross on your forehead and say, I am a child of God. Please stand, we sing hymn 799. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example. Point us to the path of obedience. And give us strength to follow your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
A reading from Jeremiah. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me. And bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand, I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn your back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Our psalm this evening is Psalm 26. We'll be reading verses 1 through 8 responsively by whole verse. You'll find Psalm 26 in your red hymnal about a third of the way. Psalm 26, verses 1 through 8. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Bless me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I am not sad with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful.
I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked.
I will wash my hands in the incense, O Lord, that I may go in procession round your altar.
Singing aloud a song of thanksgiving and recounting all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, and the place where
A reading from Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought in what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Holy wisdom, holy word.
And as we sing the Gospel Acclamation, found on page 205 in your hymnal, page 205. The 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? And what will they give them in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his dominion." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. I ask you to please pray with me. Living and loving God, may we here gathered this night hear from you a word of life. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. These are strong words that Jesus has for Peter, who last week we identified as rocky, as what we translate, of course, as Peter in the English being the word for rock in Greek. So today, rocky has quite a fall. Fallen flat on the canvas, if you will. From being called the rock of the church to just moments later being so misguided that Jesus calls him what must certainly be the worst name in the book, Satan. What in the world is going on here? What I want to suggest is that what is going on here is a theological dispute about vulnerability. Vulnerability, from the Latin meaning wounding, or a state of being exposed to being wounded. Can you think of a time when you felt most vulnerable? If I can venture a guess, experiences of vulnerability call forth quite extreme feelings in all of us. Fear, anger, even terror, but also, on the other side of the spectrum, peace, and even joy. To be vulnerable to another is to have our weakness, our wounds, exposed to them. And when our wounds, our weaknesses are exposed to those who take that opportunity to hurt us, this is terrifying. And there's no other word for it. The power is completely in someone else's hands. And when those wounds, conversely, are exposed to those who do have our best interests in mind, who cherish us, even and especially our wounds, well then, the experience of vulnerability is something else altogether. When we are in the hands of the loving regard of another, we experience connection, communion, even joy. What I want to suggest is that this dust-up that Peter and Jesus have is about vulnerability. And because it's about vulnerability, it calls forth very intense responses. In short, Jesus is beginning to explain to these disciples that he is very vulnerable. Vulnerable as any of them to things that would wound and kill. And in fact, when he goes to Jerusalem, the Roman imperial forces and their lackeys and their religious leadership will be poised and ready to put him in the electric chair. Capital punishment for high theological crimes. And knowing all this, Jesus is ready to go there anyway, to look death in the face, to look those who will make it their political and religious duty to inflict death on him in the face and respond somehow with love. With forgiveness, a response that it makes sense to call divine, because it makes no sense. It's the ultimate not returning evil for evil that Paul talked about in that Romans reading. It's the ultimate vulnerability to people who do not, to put it mildly, have his best interest in mind. And at this, Peter, rocky, freaks out completely. And we can understand why. Because no one wants their role model, mentor, teacher, friend, killed. And no one wants them being reckless with their life. It's a bit like the anger and rebuke of a good friend to one who has climbed Bonanza Peak solo without wearing a helmet. Why would you endanger yourself like that, you knucklehead? But, of course, what Jesus is proposing is so much more reckless and worse than that, because he knows the forces that are allayed against him in Jerusalem. He knows what's coming, and he's not going to stop it. He's going to remain vulnerable, no matter what comes. And to Peter, this is terrible. This is hideous, and he wants no part of it. Even more, though, than his personal attachments to Jesus as a person, this must have been bad theological news for Peter as well. If Peter is anything like you and me, well, we want our religion to shore us up against vulnerability and weakness, to be like armor, so the world can't hurt us. It's even there in New Testament texts. Think of Ephesians chapter 6 and the discussion of the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Then, of course, in our own context today, there's the prosperity gospel that assures millions that God has financial riches and plan for them, in his plans for them, and they will be invulnerable to financial hardship if only they believe more fervently and act more entrepreneurially. We pray that God would bless America, that death and terror would never again visit our shores. These are all examples of the work that we want religious faith to do for us, to make our vulnerable, fragile lives a little less terrifying, to assure us that despite the shifting sands of the world, there is some solid rock somewhere that's not going to be swept away. So when Jesus says that he is going to be killed in Jerusalem, Peter's objection is understandable on many levels. Peter's objections are our example, are our objections. They're human objections. They are sensible objections. If Jesus reveals God's loving heart for the world, if Jesus is God, as Christians have confessed, then what we get here is not really the God we want. And certainly not the God we've come to expect. We, most of the time, want an invincible, invulnerable God. Because that's what we wish for ourselves, right? And instead, we get this vulnerable one, joined to our soft flesh and our bottomless human need, and loving us in our vulnerability, but not taking us out of it. Every time we gather for worship, we are invited to be surprised again by a God who upends our expectations. A God who invites us into the space of vulnerability of our own and those of others. This is the God who, in the gospel text we just read, was delivered into human hands. And maybe that's still going on. Think of Holy Communion, the body of Christ given for you into your hand, shed for you on your lips. This vulnerable God literally falls apart in our hands. When Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," he's literally using the same phrase that he used when he initially called the disciples. Opiso mu, behind me, get behind me, follow behind. He's saying to Peter in this case, quit trying to take the lead here. Follow behind me and learn this path of vulnerability I'm going to walk. And I know you're terrified, but o piso mu. This following behind Jesus, this o piso mu, means learning vulnerability. Our own, our neighbors. This past week, we had a teaching staff person who was teaching about theology from the perspective of disability. Susan Betcher lost a leg to an infection when she was a theological student, and now challenges us to think about what it is to think about God from the perspective of vulnerability. And she said that, you know, for people who experience disability, it's not about having the rest of the people around simply recognize the fact that she is missing a leg, but to recognize that we all, in various ways, seen and unseen, are disabled, and creating a space where all can be welcome in that context. Again, vulnerability. The vulnerability of this valley in which we are living and breathing right now, its ecological balance, the damage that has been done to it, the cleanup that is being attempted, the vulnerable communion that we will share here tonight. But the thing is, as we follow behind Jesus, as we learn this path of vulnerability and self-giving, we are at the same time discovering that we are in the hands of a God who cherished us and cherishes us all along, and who promises resurrection life. Amen.
And we sing hymn 798.
You draw it all, we find love.
people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. O God, we pray for all who work today to share the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. We especially remember those who gather under the threat of persecution, that they might be sustained. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
From the smallest ant to the tallest tree, your entire creation is that which we neither created or sustained, and still our life is renewed each day. Help us treat your creation with respect and care. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all nations at war or facing disease and poverty, especially the people of Libya, we ask for your life-giving presence and peace, O God. We pray also for those who mourn the loss of life and recover from the hurricane of the Eastern Seaboard. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Look with compassion on all who are suffering, the unemployed, abused and neglected children, people who are depressed and lonely, those facing challenges to their health, and all who are experiencing the vulnerability of life, especially those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Look with kindness on this ministry, Holden Village, and the ministry of all the congregations and communities represented here. We pray also for the workers working on the mine cleanup project. May all experience your life-renewing spirit and be sent forth in loving service. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, O God, we remember all who abide with you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of Christ's peace. Stand as you are able. We sing hymn 689.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Service continues on page 206 in the front of your hymnal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Children to come forward and gather around the altar and get a front row seat. Come on up. And go around to the sides here. Now, you adults will notice in your hymnals the sung responses during the Eucharistic prayer, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, and then at the end, the sung Amen. When you hear the three-note intro there, know that we're singing the sung response. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light. You nourished the lands with water. You molded us in your image. And with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You called us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of the new creation, We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming, when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture us with the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions, as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing, until needy no longer and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever. And now gathered into one, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come now, for all things are ready. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Now receive the benediction. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 548.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks.